The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
DK Metcalf, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man, as we're here to discuss optimal 2024 NFL draft landing spots. And Cody is added in for SEO for Brock Bowers and Malik Nabers. I guess we could talk about those guys, but also a few others kind of came to mind for me. Cody, Trash Man, how you guys doing? Trash Man coming to us apparently from parts unknown.
I mean, it's just the house in the back of my house.
Do you like rent that thing out for Airbnb or something? Is it a whole different house?
It's like a little back house, a little casita. I haven't yet. Someone has been in here for a while, but they moved out, so I'm just taking it over. I'm probably going to use it like as a arts/workspace.
Is it possible to squat on your own back house, Trash Man? You kind of look like a squatter back there.
I mean, shoot, I'm paying for it all. I wish I could squat.
Okay. All right. Cody, you said that you wanted to talk about the landing spots for Brock Bowers and Malik Nabers. So maybe we can just start off with those guys. There were a couple others that I thought were really good, but I guess we can start off with those guys. And the question just becomes, when we talk about Brock Bowers, when we're I don't know about you guys. I have dynasty rookie drafts are going to be occurring in this next week or so before the NFL draft in some of my more maniacal leagues. And so we're having to take a chance here. And whenever we think about these landing spots, there are some that are being mocked to certain places that really confuse me that I don't understand very well. One of those that we'll talk about is, man, it feels like everybody is mocking Rome Odunze to the Chicago Bears at, nine? Yeah, at number nine, yeah. Which is something that where I'm like, man, you know, when I think about, you know, taking Rome and Superflex at the 106, you know, and I'm just like, man, do I really want to be taking him if maybe he's going to Chicago, stuff like that, right? But when getting back to Bowers, where you see him mocked, where I don't think he would go, you see him mocked sometimes to Tennessee, right? It feels like that's like the earliest at five. We've seen a couple mocks there, and we've heard people talk about that at the combine. I had mentioned earlier that I thought the Chargers would be a possible good landing spot for Bowers. But it feels like where you see him mocked the most, it feels like, is to the Jets right there at 10. You know, a connection with Aaron Rodgers feels super, super strong to me. And see, I don't know how much farther he could really fall to get to one of these others where it feels like he would be really, really good. But man, if he could get to 18 to Cincinnati, that to me feels like it would be the dream spot.
Yeah, I agree with the Cincinnati part. I don't think Cincinnati can sit still though at 18 and he's going to fall to them, because you got Indianapolis, who I don't love.
What are the chances he falls there? What are the chances?
Very, very slim. I would say, yeah, I was going to say 5-10%, because Indianapolis is kind of a stopgap there at 15, where they don't feel like a team that should do it because they have seven tight ends on the roster, but they could use a piece like Bowers to help Anthony Richardson continue to grow. It feels like Alec Pierce maybe isn't the answer there. So I would say if Bengals want him, they need to move up at least a little bit. I think this Cincinnati is probably the number one landing spot. When you talk about pure landing spot for fantasy relevance, for dynasty value, Cincinnati feels like the number one spot because Tyler Boyd's not there. Who knows what happens with T. Higgins? Imagine a world where T. Higgins is traded. Boyd's not there, and all of a sudden it's just Bowers and Chase, and Bowers is just soaking up targets. That feels like a slam dunk. And, you know, in my latest mock that's going to be out later this week, I actually traded up a team to 14 with New Orleans, not the Cincinnati Bengals, but a team in that division, Baltimore. I think Baltimore is a very interesting one. People are going to look at the surface and say, why? Because they have Mark Andrews. Right? He's 27.
And likely.
And they run a lot of 12 personnel. And Todd Monken's that offensive coordinator. And Todd Monken won two national championships with Brock Bowers, allowed Brock Bowers to break out at Georgia. And think about being in those draft conversations with Eric DaCosta. Todd Monken comes in. He's like, yeah, man, Cincinnati looks like the team that's going to get Bowers. Pittsburgh went down there and was at the Georgia Pro Day. I just want to kind of go through that kind of thought process. I think it's just a very interesting thing you have to just account for is what are the possibilities of that? I don't know, but I just think that's a sleeper spot is if Baltimore decided to get funky and move up and kind of utilize him as a slot wide receiver.
I think that they would just say they have, dude, Isaiah Likely. People, I mean, you've seen how good Likely is whenever there's no Mark Andrews. He's good. He's one of the better tight ends.
But they're both injured. They've both been banged up the last couple of years. And yep. What's better than one tight end? Two. What's better than two? Three. Three really good ones.
Trash man, are you into Brock Bowers? And what do you think about the cockamamie idea of the? I don't think it's going to be the Ravens aren't going to. DaCosta was talking. Did you hear DaCosta talking today about how it's such a deep class for wide receiver and offensive tackle, but they're super, super interested in getting a game-changing cornerback. It feels like it would be real out of pocket to trade up for Bowers, but who knows? I mean, it isn't like they're going to give away the keys to the whole draft plan to the idiot media up there in Baltimore at this pre-draft session.
Yeah, Bowers to Cincinnati seems like the best fit just off the bat.
And Burrow would be boys, dude. You know they'd be boys.
100%. Yeah, I wouldn't hate him to somewhere like Atlanta, but I know Kyle Pitts owners would.
No, gosh, no. That'd be a trash man. We're talking about best fits.
Champ the bit, huh?
We're talking about best fits. Fondo's would get run out of town if he made another one of these picks like this. Can you imagine if he made another 7-on-7 pick after 3 years? After what? So it was Pitts. It was Drake London. It was Bijan Robinson. He's going to take another offensive weapon whenever they need to address.
If you're looking at teams that need targets, I mean, Atlanta still does. I mean, and they've done well with two tight ends before. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy.
Well, I know that they've done well throwing it to guys like Michael Pruitt and Parker Pesce in the end zone instead of Kyle Pitts. Maybe Brock Bowers could be the next one of those. It feels like a total waste of that guy's complete skill set. Harry Snowman in the chat, what's going on, dude? Saying Dallas would be a nice fit. Applied literature.
Dallas is a nice fit for my boy Jonathan Brooks.
Okay. Oh, that's it. That's one of mine for sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Malik Nabers next, because when you look here at the very top, there are Cody's big board just came out today. I noticed that Cody has Malik Nabers not just as his wide receiver one, but as his number one overall player on his top 100 big board. Of course, you can find that over at rosterwatch.com. Our consensus number one between at least Trashman, Cody, and myself. It feels really, really scary with Marvin Harrison being right there. And to some degree for me, Rome, who's just – man, the more and more that you watch the all 22 of that guy, and the more and more that we get, gosh, he's just so good. Like, just this top three of Nabers, Harrison, and Rome is just a really, really stout bunch. I do want to talk about Rome and this whole Chicago Bears thing, but let's talk about Nabers first. Whenever you look at the state of things, we have now in flux the number four spot, wherever. Austin Ford has apparently leaked it out to who was it that he leaked it out to today that had the report? It's going to take three number ones to get up there to four. If that's the case, that feels like it's going to be too much for anybody, right? For us, we've been thinking about if it was going to be Minnesota, it was going to be the 23 that they'd gotten in the original trade plus the whatever, 11. plus 11 plus a one next year, right? So I guess
that's three.
I guess, well, I guess that is three if you think about it.
But I think the thing is, though, like Daniel Jeremiah had a show 2 weeks ago and he brought up this trade of the Vikings moving up to the Arizona. This is right after that Vikings trade went down with Houston. And he basically was saying like 11, 23, and like a fourth and a fourth again next year, something like this. And so maybe that's Austin Ford's kind of thought on that is like, no, it's not going to be 1-1-4-4. And, you know, everyone's got different opinions on what that pick's worth, but maybe that's Austin Ford. Maybe the negotiations aren't quite there with a Minnesota or somebody else. And they're like, no, we'll give you 2 ones and, you know, a third. And he's going to go to the media and say, no, man, I want 3 ones. So don't even.
And then maybe what he'll end up, and then maybe what he can end up getting is 11, 23 and like a 2025 two, right? Like,
yeah.
See if they can kind of make a deal somewhere in the middle. Okay. So yeah, that was dumb. The kind of thing that I was thinking originally was what I think that the original ask was going to be has always kind of been three ones, ever since the trade has occurred there with Minnesota. But it would feel like Minnesota would be the only team that has the kind of ammo to be able to make that kind of thing happen here. And they just so happen to be a team that, you know, might have the interest positionally there to move up for the fourth quarterback, whoever that is. So at number four, it takes a wide receiver needy team in the Cardinals sort of out of play, right? Then we get to five, and all of a sudden we'd be looking at two different scenarios. If Arizona stands pat and takes Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that the Chargers would be that would be the absolute nut landing spot. With him going in there, his biggest competition being Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer. It's like, gosh, he comes in, he's the alpha number one, you know, completely right off the bat. My only concern is you've been seeing their pre-draft stuff where they're just talking about like, look, whether you guys like this or not, this new Chargers culture. Did you see what he did with putting the star rankings, Cody Trashman? Like he rearranged the lockers, Harbaugh did, in the locker room. Now they go numerically, and next to each person's nameplate, he put their star rating coming out of high school. So I don't know what some kind of like these motivational tactic.
College annex that might not work in the NFL.
I don't know. I kind of think it might work. I'm not sure. It does feel kind of college-y, right? Feels like Matt Rhule kind of going to the Panthers kind of, is he still a college coach? Or is this dude going to be good in the pros? But you know, we've seen Harbaugh be good in the pros. He already has the skins on the wall. But I think with them, just the main point is with that is all this in that sort of talk about the culture and all the rest of it that's been in the ethos with the Chargers this week with all the interviews. They're talking about how the culture is built on the offensive line, and I don't see how you get away from Joe Alt there. Like if it's me, I know that. Even if they were to somehow trade down and somebody wanted to trade up to get one of these guys or whatever, they still have the Giants that could go after him. They still have Tennessee that could, or they still have Tennessee that could go after Tennessee would go after Joe Alt. So I don't know whether or not they would take him there, but certainly I feel like if Marvin Harrison Jr. went at four and the Cardinals stand pat and five is still available as it stands right now to the Chargers, I feel like that's the best landing spot, hands down, for Malik Nabers. Just comes in as the automatic number one with Justin Herbert. But there are other ones. I mean, we certainly like the Chargers as a destination better than the Cardinals, right?
I do. My question is more so if he doesn't go to the Chargers, which I think we all agree is the nails being attached to Justin Herbert right there. But if he doesn't go to the Chargers, the Giants, I think, hurts him. I think that's a bad spot to go to. They need somebody. But it's because just the quarterback throwing the football.
It's just a systemic problem. It's like a bad offense.
Bad quarterback.
But I feel like he's the kind of player that, I mean, doesn't need a spectacular quarterback to make his hay. I mean, like.
We sure did. He sure has had a pretty good one.
But just the kind of player that he is, he's a player I think that can make his own. That can make his own yardage. I don't think he needs someone who's going to be pinpoint him all the time.
Right, but I'm saying, but this is optimal landing spots, not the trash man. This is optimal.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's a spot.
Hey, trash man, optimal. This is where you can go and you can fix something up. That's not optimal.
And he's the number one receiver. out the gate.
He'd be the number one receiver out the gate for the Chargers, and it's a better offense.
That's not a given.
What?
It's not a given.
What's not a given? What's
that
not
he
a given?
Would be on the Chargers. I mean,
Palmer, number one.
There would be contention between Palmer and him.
Oh, believe me. Get Trash Man off the stream. God, Trash
Man. This is the report they already have.
Trash Man! Are we really talking about Byron Palmer to Malik Nabers?
I'm not talking about in their skill set. I'm talking about in the position that he's already played in that offense and the rapport he already has with the quarterback.
Andy's been not good. Every single time in DFS and season long, people are like, go big on the waiver wire and pick up Josh Palmer because Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both hurt and there's nobody else to the Chargers to go. And he gets 10 targets. He face plants.
He didn't always face plant. Byron will tell you that.
Byron won't tell you anything about what happens during the season. Byron just goes to the Chargers camp every year because he loves the media girl there, loves hanging out there, and every single time he falls in love with Josh Palmer because Josh Palmer's cool and gives him roster watch IDs and stuff. That's all. That's the only reason. No. So the Chargers is the best. I don't like the Giants.
The Chargers are the best, but the Giants I don't think is as bad as some other teams.
So the thing for the Giants is it's like, look, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback, but when AJ Brown was in Tennessee, he capped at 1,000 the first 2 years. Then he goes to Philadelphia, and he's crest up to 1,400. And the quarterback difference between Tannehill and Hurts, I would say, is a little bit different. I would also say that the quarterback difference between Tannehill and Daniel Jones or Tannehill and Drew Lock is also a little bit different. So it definitely caps his ceiling, I think, playing with quarterbacks like Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, unless they double tap and they trade back into round one, get Penix, get Nix, whatever, and they try to build this thing over. But I don't think it's even comparable, the Giants to the Chargers. I think it's best.
I'm not saying it's comparable. I'm just saying the Giants aren't a bad spot for him.
Is he gonna? I mean, the Titans aren't taking him. No. Yeah, I mean, is he getting out of? Is he getting past pick nine to the Bears, who everybody loves to roam to? And can we just all right? So he's not getting. Dude, you want him to go to the Chargers? Or you that want somebody to
Chicago
trade,
would be
you want somebody to trade up to get him. Okay, so what is all this Chicago love fest for taking a receiver? Because it makes me worried about taking Rome if he's gonna have to go in there and battle for targets in his first year with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Are you kidding?
Yes, but also the Keenan Allen thing isn't long term. Like, it's gonna suck for 2024 for sure, but it's not a long term answer. Keenan Allen isn't. So long term, you'd be looking at Nabers and Moore or Odunze and Moore. And connected to Caleb Williams. That's kind of what you're buying right there. So, but I think that's going to be a heavily conversed pick because Chicago needs edge more than they need receiver. They need edge. That's the number one. Put a stamp on it. Put a star next to it. They need edge at nine. And wait, I think a lot of people are – what?
Is Shane Waldron's their new OC, isn't he? And I was just thinking, I don't want this to be a JSN pick. And it would be a JSN pick, just like last year in Seattle for Rome to go here. We're gonna have to wait a year for him. It's like it's gonna be just the same. And it might even be coming into next year. It's like I'm still a little goosey on JSN as far as redraft and stuff. It feels like he's a pretty good value. In redraft, just out of curiosity, who do you like better, Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Jordan Addison with the quarterback situation in Minnesota being so
Jordan up Addison.
Jordan Addison.
You still like him better than JSN?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ken, if one of these guys does get in the landing spot like JSN did last year, can we actually adjust for that in the rankings this year?
What?
And not
what
have JSN mean? Again above everybody else?
No, JSN's above everybody else in the pre-draft rankings. We definitely adjusted on the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheets. Yeah, but no.
We ended up with Flowers.
We're not going to adjust our prospect rankings over landing spot. Trash, man. It's not how it works. All right. But the whole Rome thing. You guys agree with me that that's not good, and I don't understand why people are doing it.
Well, I understand why they're doing it, but I don't think it's a smart team building thing to do.
Where's the best spot for Rome then?
I mean, I think Atlanta could be a good spot for him too.
Oh God, he
Trash Man loves all these damn receivers and stuff going to Atlanta.
Atlanta, dude. Oh, you're my get God, that would fired. You're going to get him fired.
That would nuke.
He can't make another one of these picks. He's got to address the defensive line or the edge. He has to. That's where the first defensive player is coming off the board, right?
I'm just saying that would be a good, I'm just saying that would be a good landing spot for him. I don't know how realistic it is. We said best landing spot.
I think the Jets is the most realistic for Rome. People are mocking Bowers there, but I think Jets is the most realistic.
He's going to be, he's gonna be the third receiver. At best in that offense.
Not at
best. But when's last time Mike Williams played a full season?
He's going to be the number two at best. And I think he walks in probably, I think Mike Williams probably, I would say that Mike, but you know, Rome.
He's on a 1 year contract and he can't stay healthy.
In Rome, I'd have to look and see, but I don't think Rome played that much out of the slot unless he just played in the slot some whenever McMillan was hurt earlier in the year. I think that those are the reps where we saw Rome out of the slot, right? Because it was Polk and Rome outside, and it was McMillan in the slot exclusively.
Rome had 145 slot snaps last year on 250. No, sorry, wrong year. Freshman year, he had 145 on 254. So he played 60% snaps his freshman year in the slot.
What about last year?
This last year, he had 104 slot snaps on 560, so 20%.
Yeah, and that was only with McMillan hurt. He's an outside receiver.
You don't think he can start in the slot, though? Like, you don't think he could come in there day one and it would be Wilson, Williams, Odunze in the slot? You don't think that would be sick? And then when Williams gets hurt in week four, then Odunze moves
outside?
That
would be the only way it would work.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
I don't know, man. It feels messy to me. I don't want him going to either of those teams.
Well, where are you going to put him, though? Where are you going to put him then? That because he's not going to go 4 or 5. And if he doesn't go to, he's not going to go to Tennessee. It doesn't feel like Atlanta. Trashman brings up Chicago. We talked about the receivers. Jets. We talked about the receivers. Minnesota doesn't need him.
Do you like it better at the Broncos? Just to be the number one there?
As a team builder, I would not touch that. But
Raiders.
That's actually kind of interesting with Devontae.
But both of those are such nebulous quarterback situations that we don't even know. Both of those teams are like, dude. Well, it would never. What if the Raiders got? Oh gosh, what if the Raiders took Rome at 13 and then somehow traded up to 28 to go to come get Penix and just reunite those dudes? Oh man. Now we'd be cooking with some grease.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My favorite landing spot here, and it really doesn't matter who it is between a couple of guys, but it's pick 28 to Buffalo now that Stephon Diggs is gone and Gabe Davis is gone, and somebody's going to go there. It's going to be a wide receiver in round one. They're probably going to take more wide receivers throughout the course of the draft. We've talked a ton about it, right? Is there one? And I know it feels weird because we're from here in Texas, and we're going to talk about Cody's not from Texas, but he's here wearing a Longhorns shirt here on the show. But there's a lot of love song about that, right? I think Adonai Mitchell, and I think Xavier Worthy, both those guys would be awesome there. I'm not sure Brian Thomas Jr. is going to fall. It feels like the NFL is higher on him than we are. But that's a landing spot that we've heard talked about with him. I just think whoever it is that goes to Buffalo there is going to see their value really, really move up in comparison to some of these other ones. Now, we'll say somebody who's at the tier below, Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, if Worthy goes there, does that mean you get him ahead of Odunze just because of a landing spot? I don't think so. I'm not sure that I do. But it would make it a lot closer to where he'd be in a similar tier. I think Adonai Mitchell maybe makes the most sense just because he can play outside. He's got the speed, 4.34, even though we didn't necessarily see it on tape. Just feels like it feels like more of just a traditional outside piece, and he'd be a little bit less redundant with what else they have. As far as getting, it just feels like he's just a lot different player than Khalil Shakir. Whereas just from if you're, size standpoint, it's like Worthy is just a smaller dude, kind of like a Shakir. And I don't know. I think Ad and I might make more sense, but I think I would get sicker if it was Worthy. Worthy to either the Bills or my favorite to the Kansas City Chiefs, or just like my two favorite, just like the nut landing spots. But I do think that there could be somebody else in those two spots, and who knows? It could be somebody that we hate. What did Evan Silva today put out his mock, and he put Troy Franklin to 32, which would just make me sick if they passed on Worthy to take Troy Franklin. What do you think, Cody, about these wide receiver landing spots here towards the end of this?
What are the odds that I talked before about the Bowers trade up from Baltimore, but what are the odds that if you were the Bills or if you're the Giants, what are the odds that if you were the Bills, you would be willing to give up two firsts, a second, a couple fourths to move up to like pick six or pick nine if you're the Bills to go up and get a Neighbors or to go up and get an Adunze? And if you're the Giants, would you move down from 6 to 28? Or if you're the Bears, move down from 9 to 28, whatever. And that trade that I just explained is you're moving down essentially from 6 to 28, and you're getting a 25-1, a 25-2, and then a fourth in this year and next year. And that trade is the exact Julio Jones trade from 2000. And
you're talking about the Giants trade?
Yeah. Giants moving down from 6 to 28, and they would get 25 first round pick, 25 second round pick, and then 2 fourths. That trade is the exact trade that the Falcons made to move up from 27 to 6 to get Julio Jones. Would you do that if you were the Bills, move all the way up to 6, give up that capital? And if on the other side, if you're the Giants, would you move down?
If I were the Giants, I would. I'm not sure I'd do it if I was Buffalo. There's this, even if you can't get like, dude, AD Mitchell, Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr., all these guys are good. And dude, even if you somehow
do you think there's any of those guys have Julio Jones type of upside though?
Neighbors, I think, does.
I mean, oh no,
not alien, but he's got 1,500, 1,600 yards in his range of outcomes.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors both have that upside.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, I figured we were past those two already.
All right, so we're talking about that next year. Do
no, at six, I was saying Neighbors. At six, I'm saying Neighbors. At nine, it would be Odunze.
Yeah. I'm assuming when he's saying he's moving up to six, it's not for, you know, it's not for
Neighbors.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he has tremendous upside. I mean, you've seen him. He's the best wide receiver, and just a historically, it's the best wide receiver class that we've seen since 2014, and we have him ranked as the best. It's like, you know, it's like now you're talking, you know, you're talking Mike Evans, Odell Beckham stuff. Are they as good as Julio? I mean, he can have a very, you know, if he hits his upside, if he hits his bull case, it's gonna be a very similar situation for sure. What about any other wide receiver landing spots you think are just like super awesome that are like sneaky to you or anything like that?
I
talk about it. Just a couple running backs.
Yeah, I do too. A couple I had written down. One I've had for a while has been Ricky Pearsall to Pittsburgh, playing in the slot, taking over the Deontay Johnson role. I think they do take a receiver in round 2 or 3. I think Pearsall would be one with the athleticism, 6'1", 198. I think he would fit into Pittsburgh pretty well. And then before the show, we were just talking through a couple of them and trying to find a Ladd McConkey landing spot kind of felt weird. But I think New England would be one where he could succeed inside and outside if they draft a quarterback at 3, which I'm hoping obviously they do.
Jacksonville's going to steal Ricky Pearsall from the Steelers. That like where is Jacksonville picks at 48. I think Steelers are 50. I know they're right next to one another. And there was the whole anecdote that you and Maddie were telling me about how once they learned that Pearsall wasn't going to work out at the Florida Pro Day, none of them showed up, and they had plans to have the whole group there. So I think that they'll be interested, and they'll be kind of honed in there at pick 48. For
you don't think that would be a convoluted receiving core there in Jacksonville?
I think it would, but I think they really covet the guy. And man, you can hear from Byron that lives out there in Florida. All he's texting us about these days is Ricky Pearsall. It's like everybody he talks to just loves him. You know what I mean? I think there's some real regional appeal to that guy. They think he's a freak out there, dude.
I mean, he is, but I just think he lands on that team. And plus, you got Evan Engram vying for targets too, in addition to Kirk. And
I'm not saying I love the landing spot. I don't think it might happen.
Gabe Davis.
I'm just saying I think it might happen. And I don't think that Gabe Davis hinders anybody in any real way. I was very happy to see that you moved.
Do you think he's done?
No, he's only 25, but I don't think he's done. But we've never at Roster Watch been people who draft Gabe Davis at the elevated prices that people talk him up to every single year. It's like I'm not going to do it this year. As you mentioned in your write up today, it's like he's going to Trevor Lawrence. It's still a good quarterback, but it's like it's technically a quarterback downgrade. It's a target volume technically downgrade. So the stuff with the running backs, right? Oh, look at this. Speaking of Byron is up in the shared sheet. I wonder if he's going to put in some rankings today. Pearsall wide receiver one.
Should we put it in for him?
let's see. Running backs, dude. All right. So my favorite one, this will come as no surprise to you guys. And Trash Man said it beforehand.
Yeah.
But the end of the second round, pick 56 to the Dallas Cowboys. Jonathan Brooks. And I know this is a bunch of Texas dudes, man, but Brooks is sick. He's the best running back in the class. And the other thing is you got to remember that just because we're from Texas, we went to Texas and stuff. Like we're usually harder on these Texas guys. Texas had some good players this year. We're usually kind of complaining about these dudes. We're like, dude, why would they draft him? He stunk. Like, you know, Brooks is good, man. Really just good, solid inside zone, outside zone runner, great patience, great balance, great vision, enough speed and burst, always falls forward. And you got to think that Cody, that I'm not sure whether you had this mocked in your last mock where they pick a 22 or something, 24. Yeah, so you haven't taken Fuaga, and I know that Fuaga is going to go around there. Fatanu is going to go around there. You hear about the Arizona kid Jordan Morgan, Georgia, Amarius.
Mims,
like all these guys, right? That's the kind of the bucket of the tackles that are going to be available there. I think that that's where they're going. And if they go with one of those guys, get that offensive line, you know, pretty well shaped up. I love Jay Brooks behind a good zone blocking offensive line there in Dallas with little to no competition. Your biggest competition is Rico Dowdle. And look, I would be just, if it ends up being Jalen Wright that goes there or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Braylon Allen, one of these dudes, if it's one of those guys, I would be almost as happy. I just think that Jay Brooks has that kind of.
But Alex, what about Deuce Vaughn, Alex?
Yeah, man. I'm not sure I'm on board with your Bucky Irving, Deuce Vaughn backfield. Trash Man, do you have a favorite to Dallas besides Jay Brooks?
It was Brooks all along. I mean, I guess Dallas could use a tight end, and it's not going to happen. But I guess my other thought would be like to have Bowers to Dallas, but that's not going to happen.
They would have to trade up.
Yeah,
that would be pretty sick.
Cody, you got any other favorite landing spots you think are optimal
for Brooks?
No, or just like for fantasy. Any others that you kind of wrote down?
Yeah, so I got a couple. One being Drake May to Minnesota. That just feels like my ultimate favorite at quarterback, I'd say. I think really Penix to Minnesota would be nice. And this is not coming from a Minnesota fan. Obviously, I grew up at that. But I think that's the spot where we talk about it's so hard to figure out which quarterback's going to be successful.
If they hold in the first round, yeah. Do you want them to take Penix there?
I don't want them to, but I think that it's not out of the question that they would take him at 11.
I like Penix to Atlanta.
Yeah. But I think Minnesota is the spot that every year you have your thoughts on these guys, and it's like that landing spot's bad, that landing spot's good, and things that are going to help them continue to be successful. I think Minnesota might be the spot that's like most behooves a quarterback to be successful early. So I like May. I like Penix there. One defender I had was just – this is pretty interesting. I had Quinyon Mitchell written down. going to the Jets at 10 to play on the other side of Sauce Garden. And I think that's disgusting.
Strength on strength. Oh,
I think that's something that would be like, whoa, like they need tackle. They need a receiver. What are we doing here?
The dude that can tackle too and stuff. Like he's sticky like Sauce, but he's a different kind of player, a little more of a dog, bring an extra added level of intensity. That's a no fly zone.
That's a sick duo.
I think it's a better idea than going wide receiver.
DJ Reed's pretty good. They got some good defenders, but I think that you would completely that would be your matchup against, like, think about going into Miami and you got Sauce and you got Quinion and you got to go against Waddle and Hill. Like, you finally have something that's compatible. Like, you're one of the only teams that has a defense that's compatible to take on, you know, Devonta Smith and AJ Brown. You don't have to just worry about, we can only really cover one guy at a time. And then the last one I had written down was Tyrann Tracy. Tyrann Tracy, I have in the top 10 running back in the class.
Can I say one thing before you get to Tracy? Joe Douglas, one of his closest confidants, and the guy that works there, Phil Savage, who we saw at the biscuit shop in Mobile, the old Senior Bowl director, still really good friends with Nagy, still really into the Senior Bowl stuff. Was there one guy that looked better at the Senior Bowl than Quinion? I mean,
no,
I'm not sure that there was. So I think, I might mock that. I might mock that in my mock for the huddle report just because I want that to happen. I think I would get too sick. It's a better idea than going wide receiver. Yeah,
I like it. That's why I wrote it down. I think it'd be a sick duo.
I think Corum to the Chargers would be nice.
This guy's asking, you guys play Dynasty, I assume, here for the memes. You mind taking a trade question? Yeah, go ahead and put it in, brother.
Rip it.
Let's see.
Tyrann Tracy, though, I want to get this one out. I got him as a top 10 running back in the class. He played 4 years at wide receiver, played for Iowa, played for Purdue, then switched to running back this last year. Ran 4.48, 5.11, 2.10. He kind of fits the narrative of a guy that can kind of be an optimal receiving back in the NFL. I think Arizona has 3 third round picks, a 4th round pick, and multiple 5th round picks. They're good. They're 100% drafting a running back because James Conner's the lead. They had Amari DiMercato last year. I think Tyrann Tracy kind of shows a little bit of James Conner in his game. He's got the athleticism. He's got the hands. He's like this year's Antonio Gibson type of a guy. I think Tracy in Arizona will be very interesting for Dynasty, for 2024 fantasy football. I think it'd be a name that we would get accustomed to saying if he lands in Arizona.
Trash man, you got a favorite landing spot for any of these guys that we haven't discussed?
Well, I said Corum to the Chargers.
Fifth pick in the 4th round or something like that? If he falls. Yeah, I mean, it'd be good. I mean, he'd definitely be a guy that – Cody, do you remember at the Combine whenever he ran his 40? And it wasn't even that great a 40 time. I forgot what it was, 4.54, something like that. And they showed Harbaugh just like standing up and clapping and all this stuff like that. This trade question. So what is that, Jonathan Taylor and who?
DJ Moore.
I'll pop it up. Taylor,
DJ Moore. Is this? I guess it doesn't matter if it's super flex.
Hill, Moss, Mostert, and a projected late second.
So he's giving up to Tyreek Hill, who he's probably going to have for what? He has two more years on his contract, and he says he's retiring at the end of this contract. Do you think that's true?
He might have some more. He might need to play some more years.
Well, because of the kids. man, maybe so.
I like the Hill side, or sorry, the Taylor side.
I think I do too. Let me just look and see just where we have all these guys in the rankings and just kind of make sure. But my natural inclination, so it's a 2025 too, or a 2020. I'm assuming it's a 2024 too, right?
Projected. So, I'm assuming it's 2025.
Oh,
I mean, if
projected. So yeah. So it's a 2025 too. Yeah.
10 team single QB. He has Amon-Ra, Wilson, Barkley, Connor, and some other pieces.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would. So you have Amon-Ra, Garrett, dude, get Jonathan Taylor, DJ Moore.
Yeah.
that's the side that you want. We wish you the best of luck, dude. Thanks for tuning in here for the memes. Make sure and come back some other time. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. We just gave you the answer. Subscribe to the channel, like the show. I'm no good at that. Please, if you could, subscribe to the channel, like the show on YouTube, and please leave us a 5-star review if you've enjoyed this on Spotify. We try and get them out as often as we can for you guys. My favorite team player kind of match, my optimal match, it's not on it's not on offense, and it's not for fantasy. And Cody and I have talked about it before, but it just really cemented me yesterday when I saw the basketball videos. Cody, do you know which ones? Do you know what I'm talking about? Cooper mm-hmm. DeGene going throwing down on people. As much of a Randy Moss as you can do in basketball. What is a Randy Moss in basketball? I don't watch much basketball.
Just a complete, he would have been the top pick.
What like a Sean Kemp, right? Just throwing down on dudes, making people look a fool. And I just saw in my head Dan Campbell pulling up the old YouTube, getting real fired up with a big cup of coffee and saying, "Cooper DeGene can get downhill. He can tackle. He can bring the hit stick. He can turn and run with these guys. Cooper DeGene, you are a Detroit Lion."